Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada, and I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little boy named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Tony Reed, naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Canada, and I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. Thanks for supporting us for the past 100 episodes. Don't forget to subscribe and give us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also support us by visiting our Patreon page, where you can find out how you can join us for our monthly patron webinar, where we do a deeper dive discussion about all things perimenopause.
The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider. Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas podcast. I have a repeat guest, Larissa McCooch, who was on a previous episode, and we'll link to that because I love speaking to Larissa. She's so inspiring and just helps you see things and do things in a different perspective and in different ways, because we can get stuck on autopilot, reacting to our partners, to our kids, you know, just going through the motions. But she's all about adding abundance and joy. She's supports women to boost their income and just get more satisfaction and enjoyment out of life. So first, I'll introduce Larissa. So Larissa McCooch is the daughter of a teacher and a historian, developed a love and passion for learning, asking questions, and relentlessly seeking answers at a young age. Despite a history of abuse and years of living with a scarcity mindset, she learned how to seek solutions in adversity and turn obstacles into opportunities. Keeping the best of the past and trusting herself moving forward, she has created magic in the worlds of personal finance, movement education, photography, sales, corporate management, and now as a leader in her field. A sought-after author, speaker, abundance mentor, and CEO of the Abundance Academy, Larissa employs her expertise to free women from their self-imposed traps and create ultimate fulfillment in life and business. She works both one-on-one and in group settings to show women how to double their income and positively impact the world, all the while loving themselves, their businesses, and their lives. So welcome back, Larissa. So glad to have you on again.
It is so good to be back, Lisa. I'm so excited about today. This is going to be a lot of fun.
It is. Yeah. So let's jump in because I want to pick your brain, and I'm sure our listeners need some inspiration, you know, going through kind of the doldrums of winter. Let's shake things up and add some fun and abundance into our life. So I know as mothers, we can feel, you know, overwhelmed, and something could happen, like the kids wake us up in the night, we feel like we have too much to do, and maybe our partner's not helping us. So sometimes we snap, we feel overwhelmed. And I know you have some favorite mind hacks for feeling overwhelmed, for not reacting in the moment. Can you share some of those, please?
Yeah, I think generally overwhelm is when you're in a state of overwhelm. Overwhelm is when you've got too much going on all at once. And it's so easy to get to a state of reaction instead of response. And one of the things I like to simple is just literally when you're in a state of overwhelm, you want to step back and zoom out. If you're in the moment and you need to pause, it literally something as simple as taking a breath or taking two breaths before you open your mouth or before you do something questionable. If it's a bigger and more global thing, one of the things I love to do for overwhelm is getting things out of the head and onto paper, just saying, okay, guys, mom's going through a moment right now. I need some quiet time. I'm going to go to my room for a few minutes, if that's possible. It's like ideal. And just get all the stuff out of your head, get it onto paper, whether that's just complaining about what everything, what your partner's doing, what's going on at home, what your kids are doing, or maybe it's just a list of things to do for work and it's getting in the way of your personal life. So if you can get those things out of your head and onto paper, you can start being a little more objective and actually look at the main thing, which is the main thing. So in the moment, in the heat of the moment, I would say, take a breath. If you have a little time to get away, just go to your room. My son's like, Mom, I'm going to send you to my room. I love it when he says that, because I'm like, please do, if I'm having a moment. And write it out, get the bad stuff out. But then what you can also do is just rewrite it to how you would like it to be, because that will start moving your mind and your unconscious mind and your energy in that direction. Even if it's not there right now, at least you'll start opening yourself up to possibilities.
Love that. Because I think a lot of the times we look at what went wrong or what's gone wrong in the past. We don't look at how do we actually want it to go and go into these situations with an intention. Like if we wake up and we're like, oh, I only got 4 hours sleep because my kid was up, it's going to be a horrible day. We go into this self-talk that then can manifest in that way. If that's what we're feeling, we can make that, you know, we pick out all the negatives that are happening in the day. We say, oh, of course I dropped the milk this morning because it's one of those days, and we chalk up the whole day to being bad. So I love that, you know, pausing, taking a few breaths, and then jotting down, unloading everything, but then rewriting it to what you want it to be. That's such a good strategy.
Mm-hmm. I like to keep things simple, because if you can't remember it, you're never going to do it.
That's right. This is true. And as we're going through perimenopause, we've talked about all the brain effects that the hormonal fluctuations have on our memory. So it's breathe, write, rewrite. I love that. So that's a good three-step process you can go through. And you talk so much about abundance. I don't think a lot of people take the time to really think about that. So can you tell everyone what abundance is and how can we move towards it from, you know, the survival mode that a lot of us are in right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think abundance is a very large quantity of something. It's about plentifulness and about the good things in life. If you look out into the universe, there is abundance of leaves, of trees, of grass, of sand. We don't have a lot of sand right here right now, but you know, when we go to the beach, when we think about the beach in the summer, there are millions of grains of sand in just a square foot. And there is so much opportunity sitting right in front of us. There are so many blessings that we have. And sometimes when we got caught up in the scarcity thinking or in what we don't have or in comparison mode, we start to attract more of that. And one of the things I really love to do is look at how things are processed in the mind. I'm a trainer of neuro-linguistic programming. So we look at what happens in the brain. I love studying the brain and neuroscience. And just to keep it simple, what you focus on expands. Your brain cannot process. Your unconscious mind doesn't process the word no, and it doesn't process the negative. So what you actually say, what you speak, what you focus on will come about. So it's like, I don't want to be broke. Well, what's your mind hearing? Be broke, get more of that. You want to cancel those kinds of things and just be really aware that what you are thinking about is going to magnify. So instead of scarcity, right? There's a lot of scarcity out there. And sometimes if you don't have as much as you'd like, or the world seems like everyone else has things, that advantages that you don't, everyone else has this picture perfect Instagram lifestyle, you get into that comparison game. You start getting into survival mode. And being in abundance is really about you acknowledging those blessings in your life. Because one of the things we use with my son, okay, when we wanted to teach him about money, my husband and I, we didn't really have exceptional relationships with money growing up. It wasn't terrible, but we didn't exactly have like an abundance mindset growing up. And we wanted to teach our son some healthy relationships with money. And about 20 years ago, I went to a seminar with T. Harv Eker where he taught about the money jars. And this is something I decided to instill with my son. So I got these plastic jars from the Dollarama. And we labeled them. They're right next to me. So we labeled them financial freedom account, long-term savings for spending, education, giving, and fun. And what we do is all the money he earns, he gets to put in the jars, and we split it up equally because he doesn't exactly have a lot of living expenses at this age. He's six, so my son's a little like yours. And so we're teaching him how to be responsible with money, because money is not just about getting more money, getting more toys. It's about using it to enrich your mind. It's about using it to make other people's lives better. It's about saving some of it for bigger purchases. It's about thinking about your future. He's got silver. He wants to buy some gold on his own. He's like, I'm motivated. I want to earn more money so I can buy some gold. And that's a cool thing for a six-year-old to want to do. And so we just want to, we bring his awareness to things like money, and we make it a game and we make it fun, because so often people are afraid to talk about money. 61% of women would rather talk about their own death than money. And that's not exactly an abundance mindset to bring your kids up with. So we play games like that with money. We talk about the things we have and that we're grateful for in our lives. We walk around our house and say, wow, I am so blessed. Look at the books I have. Look at the toys I have. Look at the cool socks I have with grips. Like, when you really start looking at the things you have, even right around you, you have so much abundance and so many blessings, more than most people in the world. And when you just start to pay attention to them, you start to say thank you. You become more of a magnet for the things you desire, and you really do get into that abundance mindset. So if you're feeling like you're in survival mode, literally walk around your house and start looking at the things that you have, not what you don't have. Look at what you do have, because it's probably so much more than you even anticipate.
Like that exercise. I love the jar exercise as well, for kids to start to figure out how to prioritize where they're going to put their money and what's really important. So those are some great tools to move from that scarcity mindset and survival mode to move towards abundance. Are there other factors that keep people kind of stuck in life? Like, what else do you see that keeps them stuck? Like, they're like, oh yeah, I have this stuff, but I want to like acquire, you know, more, not necessarily material things, but more love, more joy, but they just seem stuck, right? So people just have a hard time getting that momentum and that taking that first step. What would be some reasons you commonly see for that?
Yeah, I find there's three key things that really do keep people stuck, and they are clarity, confidence, and conviction. And when it comes to clarity, most people actually, they don't have a vision of their future. They don't have a picture of their ideal life. They just have a picture of where they are and maybe where they want to go next year or even a couple years from now at most. Most people really don't have a clear vision of what they're growing towards. And when you don't have something to move towards, it's like you can't program the GPS directions in your mind. Your conscious mind is a goal setter. Your unconscious mind is a goal getter. But if you don't put something in there, it's just going to stay stuck and coast. And that doesn't feel good. And so you feel like you're trapped in a sense, because you have nowhere to go and you don't know how to get out of it. All you know is you want to get out. But again, you're focusing on getting out and you're just going around in circles. So I would say the first thing is clarity, because then you can make a decision and choose to do something about it. And the second thing that a lot of people don't have and that they get debilitated by is lack of confidence. And we all have confidence in certain areas, right? Maybe as parents we're confident, maybe as parents we're less confident, but then we might be more confident at work. Some of us are more confident in relationships and with money. So there's different areas of life and different skill sets that we have where we are confident, and others where we're not. We're not going to be perfect at every single thing in our lives. However, when you want to gain confidence in any area, you need a level of competence. That means you actually have to do something to move forward. And it might feel uncomfortable at first. And I think this is even a really great lesson for kids, because when you're like, you know, mom's not really good at this activity. I just started aerial silks. My son started gymnastics and he loves it. And then I kept watching the ladies do silks and the teenagers do silks in the gym. And I was like, I want to do that too. I'm pretty kinesthetically inclined. I could do this no problem. I'm a dancer. Yeah, no way, Jose. First class I went to, I was like, I couldn't even get up on the silk. I could not climb. It took me like almost 2 months before I could finally climb. And I'm still not that great at it. It's the very first thing I've ever done where I would say I sucked. I've never had to work so hard in my life for anything, especially physical. And my son saw that. And at first he made fun of me. But then I said, you know, I don't know how to do this. I'm a dancer. I know how to use my legs. My legs are really, really strong. But I don't know how to lift myself up. I've never had to flip myself using my arms and using a wiggly piece of cloth. And so he started becoming a cheerleader and cheering me on and encouraging me. But for him to see that I was trying something where I wasn't successful and I was struggling and I was building skills and I got better. When I got to go upside down in a V, he was like, whoa, mom, let me take a video. And he was so proud of me. So I think so often when you build the confidence, it's because you build the competence and you do the do. And I think that's a beautiful thing to share with your kids, is to do things you're not good at so that they can see it too. And that becomes embedded in their own neurological system. And then the third thing, the conviction, that's really about you having something that you stand for, having a purpose, something bigger and greater than you. And ultimately, there will probably be a spiritual or a God-driven aspect, but you've got to find your greater motivation for why you do what you do and for your life. And when you do, you won't stay stuck for long. You might have periods where you stall, but then you have a jump start and you keep moving. You remind yourself of where you're going and it's like, boom, feels really, really good.
Amazing. I love that you're learning silks and you're showing that, you know, even if it is challenging, you still work through it, you commit to it, and then you see that improvement. So that's such a great example.
It's a lot of fun. And I'm like so humbled in the process.
I've never done it, but I can imagine just trying to do a pull-up like humbles me.
I didn't think it was that hard. It looks pretty straightforward. However, I didn't think about the necessity. It's basically like you're doing pull-ups on a wiggly piece of cloth. So you need grip strength, you need upper body strength. And I've just never had to have it. I've just been like, let's just keep my arms toned enough, lift a few light weights, but I've never had to do a pull-up. I don't even like monkey bars these days. So now I've had to like change my strategy and change my approach.
You can train at the playground, hang on the monkey bars, do some pull-ups. But I think I really love how you break down. So the three C's, the clarity, the confidence, and the conviction, and really pointing out that sometimes there are periods where we are stalled in our conviction and our momentum, because life, you know, happens and we're caring for people and doing all the things, but then you can jumpstart it. So it's not like, oh, you have to start from the beginning, but you can start where you left off and revisit that. Because I know with different ages and stages of having kids, you are on survival mode for a while, but I know there's still, women still talk about putting aside like a little bit of time, half an hour every day, at least something to work towards that vision of where they want to be. And can you share a little bit about that? Because you have a young child, six now. So you're running the business, you're doing lots of trainings. You know, when you're in the throes of motherhood, how do you still find time to keep the momentum going?
Nobody finds the time, they make the time. You never find time as a mother. And early when my son probably was about 8 months old, I realized like, I am not the kind of mother that wants to be around their child 24/7. I love my kid. However, having some time where we're apart and then we're together serves both of us much better. And I really do admire women that want to stay home with their kids and that they're able to do that. That's not what I was built for. And so for me, I deliberately made the time. I wake up early. I wake up before my husband and my son get up to do my own morning routine. I love my mornings. They are miracles and magic for me. And I make a point of it, because if I don't have that, I don't show up the same way. I need my movement. I need my studies. I need my meditation. And when I have myself full, my cup full, things sort themselves out. And I can show up for my family. I can show up for myself. I can show up for my business. And I think asking for help and taking that time for myself at the beginning, during, and even at the end of the day is absolutely critical, but it's not something I just found. It's something I deliberately carved out time for. And at first, it was difficult. I felt guilty. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm sending my kid to daycare and just throwing him away. And I'm like, oh my God, I had so much guilt. And then I realized he's having fun. This is really good. He's getting socialized and he's enjoying it. And then I was enjoying myself as well. It took about 2 days to get over the guilt. But then I started really seeing that he was learning new things. He was getting different habits. And the more we start to recognize what works for us, like, I think it's happy mom, happy life. When you are in a sourced and fulfilled place, your family and your kids will respond accordingly, whatever that looks like to you, whether you're staying home, whether you work, whether you choose to have a hybrid option. You need to find something to source within, or if you're not satisfied, everyone will feel it. You can't BS your way through it. Kids are smart. They know. They may not have the language to articulate it, but they have a spidey sense.
So true. So true. Yeah, I love getting up before Stuart and Pete and starting my day on my terms as well, doing my movement, my breathing, my stretching, my meditation. It makes such a difference. And if there's those odd mornings where they get up a little bit earlier, I can modify the routine if needed. But Stuart knows that's my time. Sometimes he'll come down and join me and do some of the movement or the breathing exercises. And I like to mirror that to him. And I know you love talking about daily routines. When it comes to creating a successful daily routine, especially like the morning routine, what are some non-negotiables to make it like truly effective? Because people can get overwhelmed by, I have to do this and this and this and this. Like, what are the non-negotiables that we can pare it down to, do you find?
Yeah, I would definitely say doing something for movement and something for mindset. If you have a health practice, I would say also health, like something as simple as drinking water and hydrating, or having a green smoothie to put vegetables into your body at the beginning of the day. Those kinds of things, I think those should be non-negotiable, something for your mindset, for movement, and for your physical health and well-being. And what I like to say is there's non-negotiables, which is something in each of those categories, but then there's also negotiables. And it's what you put in those categories. So for me, a non-negotiable is I must move every single day. No movement for Larissa. Larissa gets grumpy. Larissa gets tired. Larissa's not a happy camper. Larissa's body aches, and it's not a good thing. However, what I do within that movement bucket can vary. Some days I find 2 or 3 days a week I need a workout. However, other days I might go for a walk. Other days I might do ballet bar in the bathroom. I used to dance. I love doing ballet bar while I brush my teeth. It's my thing. I'll go to the kitchen and I'll do squats or lunges or push-ups while I'm waiting for my tea to heat up. I'll do silly things throughout the day. I'll just do wiggles at my desk. But the kind of movement is my negotiable. The non-negotiable is I must move. And some days it's a lot more and some days it's less. However, when I keep moving, my body feels good. I have to do something for mindset. I put different things in those buckets. I'm not going to do a 3-hour mindset journaling, everything routine. I don't have that kind of time. And I don't have that desire. I don't think people need to spend that much time every day. However, there needs to be something deliberate and purposeful that you structure for yourself. So mindset, physical, like food, what you ingest in your body. And then also the movement component is huge.
I love those buckets. And then those are the non-negotiables, but each day could look a little bit different. You want to listen to your body. I love having little dance breaks in my day or exercise snacks, as I like to call them. It doesn't have to be as structured as we used to think, right? We used to think, oh, if I'm going to move, I got to go to the gym for an hour and a half. No, I love that you inject it into your day when you're brushing your teeth. Those are some great examples. Are there any other tools that we could share with our kids to help them overcome adversity and failure. I know, you know, you gave that great example of you learning the silks. I know Stuart can get frustrated. He is very athletic. So usually when he tries sports, he's good, but he hasn't tried everything. But when he tries to learn a new game or he doesn't win a game, he can feel really frustrated. And we, you know, we talk about it. And when I lose, I say, I still have fun. Like, but are there any other tools you can share that we can use with our kids to shift their thinking when things are challenging or don't go their way?
I think it's a really great question and a really great theme that you're bringing up, because my son is the same way. And one of the things I like to do is look at it from a short-term and long-term perspective. And essentially, we are wired we're wired for two different things, for process and for outcome. Some of us are more process driven. Some of us are more outcome driven. However, we have the capacity for both. Now, process, that let's enjoy the activity and how we're doing, that's a more feminine energy. Outcome is actually a more male energy. So males are more predisposed to winning and to dominating. So it is actually very natural. However, that doesn't mean they can't appreciate the other side of things. And sports, the culture of sports tends to be very outcome driven. Gotta win, gotta win, gotta win. So I think that, like you talked to Stuart, the more you can share that it's okay not to only win, the better. So in the short term, acknowledge their feelings, and it's okay to let them know that they're upset. However, it's okay for others to win as well. I think one of the things I often see, and my son, it comes and goes, but sometimes he's like, oh, I'm a loser, I'm not good enough, or nobody likes me. He'll do those extremes and take, say, an identity statement. And if that's happening, I think it's really important that you're aware and you say, you know, you're not a loser. However, you simply didn't win this round or this game. And separating the identity from the behavior is absolutely critical, because that identity, they take that on and they it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So the more you can separate that identity from the behavior of, you did not do what was required. You kicked the ball and it missed the net. Okay. However, you kicked the ball and it hit the net other times. So that they can see that side of things. So in the short term, I think just being there for them energetically, but also watching for their language and how they're talking about it is really important. Now, long term, planting seeds and really discussing the process and other aspects of the sport, like maybe playing with your teammates. Soccer is so amazing because you get to play with your teammates and spend time together. Look at these friends that you're making, the skills that they're learning. Wow, you didn't know how to kick with your laces before, but now you do. This is really great. You've practiced and you've worked and you've been really diligent with that. I love how you've been listening to your coaches and learning new skills. So pointing out the specific things that particular process offers. So more than just we can have fun, but like, how can we have fun? We get to have fun because we get to run around, and running feels so good. Look at how sweaty you are. That's amazing, right? So breaking down the specific aspects of the process so they can actually start to connect with what it is, because they probably don't understand all of the steps in between. And at that age, at a younger age, they're not able to comprehend what that is. So the other part of it is talking about the lessons that you can learn when you don't win and do better next time. So we recently, about a week ago, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, we were actually at the cottage and we went out for this beautiful 7-course dinner. And then just outside, there was like a bar lounge area that was closed off. No one was really sitting there, but there was an old school Mortal Kombat game. And we found ourselves in a lot of arcades recently from birthday parties and whatnot. It's pretty fun. If you haven't gotten there yet, it's coming. It's pretty epic. And so I played Mortal Kombat with my son. And my husband likes to let him win. I am not as generous with that. And I let him win a couple rounds, but then I'm like, you know what? You're getting to oh, I'm winning. And I'm like, that's not a good attitude. I don't like that. So I won and I kept winning and I kept winning. And my son got discouraged and my husband's like, let him win. And I said, no. And I told my son, I'm like, if you want to win, you actually have to pay attention. And I said, I can show you what you need to do in order to win, but you've got to do the work in order to do that. You can't just slap the keys and think you're going to win. I said, look over here, when you do this button, look what happens. So now when I come here, hit this button, and now, and he started paying attention to the buttons. Then he started paying attention to how much life he had left. He started, over time, we kept playing more rounds, but each round I would give him one more thing to learn. And in the failures, he started actually learning on his own. At first I would point it out, but then by the end, he was really paying attention to what do I need to do in order to make this process more effective. And I think that's true empowerment, because instead of just being like, ooh, I win. Of course he wants to win. He's a boy. However, he learned how to pay attention along the way. And it wasn't just about winning. He learned that the failure, you can actually have some learning lessons along the way.
So powerful. Yeah, we can apply that to ourselves as well. And I know you're all about language, and I, you know, I'm really conscious about how I say things, because I remember as a child, my sister and I, during certain times of our life, we were labeled as shy. Oh, she's just shy. That could have been, you know, if someone said, oh, you're acting shy because this is a new situation, I might not have taken that identity on as much. So I'm really careful with the language. And I like how you use the example of Mortal Kombat in teaching, you know, actually getting them to pay attention and learn the process and how to win. Because sometimes it is easier if we let Stuart win. Okay, there's not going to be a meltdown. He's going to get to bed sooner if we're playing a card game. But I'm the same too. I don't let him win as often as maybe Pete does, my husband. So I love that example. That's so powerful. And you really clarified to look at it in the short term and the long term aspect, as well as the process driven versus outcome driven. Because I guess I am more process driven. My husband at that are more outcome driven. So it's great to define it that way. So anything else we should chat about before we move to the next part? And well, before you share how people can connect with you and work with you, what you offer?
Yeah, I was just as you were saying that with the short term versus long term, I had one other thought about that. Essentially, long term, these are seeds that you're dripping. And sometimes you just need to deal with the short term strategy. And so when it comes to the long term seeds, this is something you want to start planting right from day one. And there are times where they're just going to react, and it's easier to just give in. It's not a good long term strategy. But I think, like you said, there's moments where you just want to get your kid to bed. So perhaps not every time, but sometimes you got to give in. But really be aware of it and be conscious of what you're doing and why. And I think the more deliberate you are as a parent, the more supportive that environment can be for your kids. So it's not wrong to just give in periodically for certain things. However, they need to know what the standards are. And when you are conditioning a new way of being, you can't give in, unfortunately. However, there are times for certain things that you can. So just be cognizant. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Know when to, you know, when are you going to have the energy to deal with that? Yeah, if it's bedtime, maybe that's not the time, but then be intentional about bringing it up the next day. So as always, Larissa, you blow my mind. You share such practical, valuable tools that we can start to use for ourselves and for our kids. And what's the best way for people to connect with you, work with you?
Yeah, I actually have an Abundance Activation Masterclass. And this is where we cover at a high level the clarity, the confidence, and conviction, and certain steps that are required to really make those processes effective. So it's 1.5 hours. It's absolutely free. And we also embed other topics within this series of masterclasses. It's basically designed to be a wake-up call to hold yourself to your highest standards. So we discuss topics like overcoming stress and overwhelm, letting go of your scarcity mindset and stepping into abundance, how to stop procrastinating your life away. That's also the title of my book that's coming out in May. So we've got a series of themes that are really relevant. And we rotate them throughout the year. However, the best way to find those is at my website, myabundanceacademy.ca. So if you're interested, we do them at different times. We run them repeatedly throughout the year. So if that's something that you'd like to plug into, then there's always going to be a pop-up or something right on the homepage of my website that will lead you to that.
We'll link to all that information in the show notes for sure. That sounds like a great support to check out. And now we'll move to the next part of the podcast. So we'll share our super mom moment. I can go first if you like.
Sure.
We planned a getaway to Niagara Falls this weekend. So we went away for the night and we booked a hotel and we had a blast. It was nice to mix things up. Like we usually go to the cottage. That's a common getaway. We took Stuart to Prince Edward County and, you know, did an Airbnb, but he'd have never actually stayed in a hotel before. So he was super excited about that. It was part of it for his birthday. He said he wanted either a baby brother, a pet, or a night in a hotel. So we thought, okay, well, it's time to go to the hotel. We're not doing the other two. Number one, for sure not. Number two, maybe down the road. This was more accessible, but it was just nice for, you know, all of us to get away and just explore. And I still made sure I got up, you know, and went for my walk in the morning. It just had some time to kind of breathe and do a breathing mantra as I was walking. So my morning routine looked a bit different because we slept in a little bit because we were up late having fun and playing glow in the dark mini golf. But it was just nice to break up that routine and just get away from it all. And Larissa, what's your super mom moment?
I love yours. I love it. Hotels are so amazing and kids get so excited by them. And definitely a wise decision over the other two options. So very good
for you. Way too much commitment. Yeah.
So recently, I've been really into recipes on Instagram. And obviously, the algorithm knows that I'm really into recipes because it just puts, I think, every second thing on my Instagram feed is a recipe. And so there's some really brilliant recipes that I've saved and sent to myself and sent to people I know. And so I've started sharing some of these with my son, and he loves surfing Instagram. And he's also a Pinterest kind of guy, but that's a whole other story. But when we're on Instagram, we look at recipes together and he's like, "Mama, we have to make these. We have to make this one." So we've tried a few different things. We tried a really cool cauliflower one at the cottage when we were there last week for spring break. We did a tangerine sorbet, and my son does not like oranges or anything to do with oranges, but the sorbet was exceptional. So he loved that. And then this week we did a coconut bacon, and I love coconut bacon. My son loves it with a capital L-O-V-E. And
I had coconut bacon.
Yeah, we've watched movies the last two nights in a row. Like, we don't usually watch movies twice in a weekend, but we started watching something and we wanted to watch more. So the last two nights we've watched shows, and for dinner we don't usually have salad, but my son and I shared a salad, and he's like, "Well, I want salad because it's got coconut bacon on it." And so we both had kale salad for dinner the last two nights while watching a show. So I thought that was pretty cool because I'm like, I love that my son still loves kale salad. I don't know if he even knows what kale is right now, but he's just like, coconut bacon is all the way to go. So he loves the green. So that made me really excited because we're still over there with all the pizza lunches. He will still eat kale salad.
Amazing. Definitely a super mom moment. And getting him excited about recipes and wanting to cook and help you prepare and try new things. That's mm-hmm. amazing. I know we're both doing, you know, the best we can. And sometimes we mess up, and that's okay. But I can share mine. My mama mess up is that I have a hard time packing light. So I brought too many things. I intentionally tried to pare it down a bit, but we had a lot of food, which was good because we brought our lunch, and then I brought some food for breakfast and some snacks. So we were prepared in that respect. But I still think I brought too many options for clothing and but I did have a deck of cards on hand. At least Stuart's at the age where we don't have to pack a ton of toys for him. Just little simple things can keep him busy. So my goal next time is to reduce the amount of stuff I bring. It seems kind of hard, but whoopsie, that's okay. And Larissa, what's your mama mess up?
Yeah, so the past few weeks I've had a lot of projects on the go, and I was a bit overwhelmed, and I knew it, but I pretended it wasn't there. So this is why I do the work I do, because I have to keep reminding myself every time I remind a client. I'm like, oh yes, apply to self again. because these things are recurring things that will come up in life. So one of the things that I've become aware of is that there's always a spiritual or an emotional root cause to anything that happens. And ironically, a couple weeks ago, I got a cold. So I had this cold and didn't feel great, but it was getting better. And then Monday, I was like, okay, my body feels pretty good, but there's like something in me that's saying go to the chiropractor. And so I had this hunch to go, but I got caught up in another project because it was so exciting and I didn't go. Well, Wednesday, I was about to stand up from my desk and I turned and I was in a twisted position and I coughed really hard and threw out my back. My SI joints are way out of whack right now. And so my pelvis, my SI joints, everything's very achy and it was extremely painful. So ironically, Thursday, I had to go to the chiropractor. So I've learned my lesson that when there's a hunch, go follow it. And even if it doesn't always make sense, even if you think it's okay, if you really have a hunch, maybe you should start paying attention and listening to your hunches. I listened to it, but I didn't actually follow through. So follow through on the hunches that you have because they're sometimes smarter than you are. So in the end, I did go, my back is getting way better. However, I'm going to be much more diligent about actually following my intuition that I hear.
Yeah, we all have those voices, right? And sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we learn the hard way. But I hope you get better soon with your chiropractic support.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll share our mama matha. So I can go first. So mine is really simple, just silence, having moments of silence in the day. I used to feel like I had so much on my plate that I had to jam-pack every moment. I'm listening to something, I'm learning something, I'm talking to somebody, but now I go walk in quiet, like have silence, sit in the house and have a cup of tea in silence, just have these moments. Even when I'm in the car, sometimes I just need it totally quiet. So that can be so rejuvenating for me and fills up my cup because I think I'm a little bit of a close to a highly sensitive person. So that fills me up where others might fill up with getting social or going out, but I need my silence. And what's your mama must have, Larissa?
Mm-hmm. I love yours. I think that's so good. And I think everyone needs more of that for sure. So mine is, there is a series of books and we've had them for a while, but I was working with a client last week and they came back into my awareness. There's a bunch of books that come from Hay House and I don't even know what they're called, but my husband, he loves doing the online shopping. I don't. He just buys them and I see them. So one day he bought a big box of books from Hay House and there's a book from like Deepak Chopra called On My Way. There's Byron Katie, Tiger, Tiger, Is It True? So these are questions to make you smile again when you're sad. Wayne Dyer wrote an Unstoppable Me book. And there's beautiful, beautiful books that have really wholesome and healthy lessons for kids. And they have sales all the time. So if you get on their mailing list, you can go there. I'm not an affiliate, but I just think they're so brilliant. And they're beautifully designed. They're well-written. They're engaging for kids. We read them to my son before he could read. Now he's reading them himself. And I just think they're full of such good lessons. And so if you are looking to instill mindset from a long-term perspective and on a regular basis and have go-to resources, these have recently come back up. So we are going to be binging even more of them over the next couple of weeks because we started reading other things. And I think it's time to come back to some of these in our household.
That's a great one. I'm going to check that out for sure because Stuart loves reading and us reading him stories. And why not give it, you know, pick a story that has such a great teaching or a lesson. So thanks for sharing that. And thanks for coming on to be a guest again. I'm going to share what's happening. So Dr. Tony has her online self-hypnosis classes. We'll link in the show notes to that to support your health and hormones in 2024 and beyond. Use the code MAMA2024 for a special deal. And thank you everybody for listening today. We would love you to email us or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love you to subscribe, leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. And you can also support us by visiting our Patreon page. Please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. So stay safe and healthy, everybody. Until next time, thanks, Larissa.